Old airplanes go to the Mojave Desert to die, but some are reborn. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Computers have brought unprecedented realism to flight simulators. Now that it's possible to depict an environment with such accuracy, recreate the responses of instruments, and even tilt and shake the cabin to match the imaginary world outside, the last remaining challenge is to match the look, feel, and touch of things like seats, panels, knobs, and switches. Over the past 20 years, Mectronic Systems has become expert at rehabilitating real cabins from retired aircraft to start new lives as simulators. On March 1st, Mectronic announced a new simulator contract with Bell Helicopter, and another with Canada's Perimeter Aviation was announced on March 26th. In today's ANN special feature, we revisit Pete Combs' interview with Xavier Hervé, president of Mectronic Systems.
Think of what Mectronic does as reincarnation. The Montreal-based maker of aviation simulators has been searching the aircraft boneyard at Mojave, California, and has come up with, well, gold. It's in the form of discarded and mothballed airplanes. CEO Xavier Hervé is trucking them more than 2,000 miles to Canada to turn their cockpits into first-class simulators. He says each plane is sort of like a person, and each act of reclamation is sort of like a rebirth.
Well, the airplanes to me are like ships, you know, they all have a personality and you have to respect it, you know, it's like a ship has a name and a ship has a personality and a history and so does a plane. The plane's a ship. It has names and it has a history and it's done a lot in its life, so. We are a reality of the microprocessor revolution of the last 20 years. We actually have a completely different business model than the classic way to manufacture an airplane simulator. Classic sim manufacturers goes to Boeing and buys, you know, all the insides of a cockpit and a cockpit he designs, and then somehow what the sim manufacturer tends to do is be specialist at the motion system, at the visual system, at simulating the environment in which that airplane lives. And it's the idea in the old way to make simulators is you made the airplane believe that it was actually flying so that the pilots could behave within that cockpit as if they were flying. Now making a simulator is not about that. Now making a simulator in our business model is about truly simulating the cockpit, actually, because things like fancy visual systems and motion bases, the software world is so rich of that stuff that you can find all that stuff on the shelf. It's no longer this big deal. What becomes a big deal is a cost-effective way to replicate and truly simulate in the inside. So for us, a pilot has to feel no different than if he's on an airplane. The fidelity is defined by regulations. The standards are the same. But what we do is that, you know, it's kind of like you're using a cell phone and you would only use the keypad. It's a bit like in our simulators when the pilot goes in there, all he's playing with is the keypad. The rest is all software. And so what becomes important is how do I recreate that environment? Well, the best way is either actually truly make it or I refurbish an existing cockpit, and this is we end up in the desert. Whenever they're available, it's cheaper to just go and refurbish one from the desert and give it another life than it is to, you know, than to go out and redesign and rebuild an airplane from scratch.
Xavier, when you do this, how do your customers and how do the people you train react?
The customers and the people we train, I think the customers are driven by the people who we train who are pilots, and pilots live in the world of no compromise. The reason why we have such a high safety record in the aviation industry relative to other industries, even though there's a very intense traffic, the reason why you have such a safety record is because, you know, there is 150 different security checks and double up systems. One of those is the pilot's ethics and pilot standards. So a pilot, you know, for him, he's in a 737. Whether it's a simulator or an airplane, it has to be the same. And so the customers, the pilot, the actual pilot himself, he's going to have very strict standards, in which are defined by regulations and by his own subjective judgment on the quality of the fidelity of the flight, and he cannot make a compromise. The customers love it because the customers, being the guys that write the checks to buy these things, they're looking for, you know, the airline industry is longing for better productivity, better business models, cost advantage, competitive advantage, right? So when you come along and you tell them that all of a sudden you know, the classic Lexus expensive simulator no longer needs to be the classic Lexus expensive simulator, but it can be a Toyota, you know, your Toyota Tercel or red truck. The airline's quite happy with the red truck to do what it needs to do, and it's got four wheels and engine, and it's functioning. It meets its basic standards, but however, it's at a different price, different business model.
Well, let me ask you about that, if I could. When you go to the desert, to Mojave, first of all, Xavier, do you find that to be I go to Mojave with a bit of reverence. I find it to be almost, if not a sacred place, it certainly stirs something in me.
Yeah, the first couple of times our teams went down there and assessed, you know, since then, now we have an intermediary and we do a lot of this stuff, you know, online. But at the beginning, it was quite an adventure. Yeah.
We'll hear more of this interview with Mectronic CEO Xavier Hervé in just a moment. But first, this Aerocast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How smart is the engine in your aircraft? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as smart and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services and their state-of-the-art engine management system. Both the V220 and the V300T feature a fully redundant and certified engine management system that controls all engine operation parameters. This EMS includes a true FADEC that manages propeller pitch and other elements of engine operation not usually controlled by the EMS in piston aircraft engines. The EMS automatically provides an optimum fuel mix by constantly measuring the manifold pressure, ambient pressure, engine speed, and throttle positioning, and calculating the appropriate fuel injection timing for each cycle and cylinder. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at theaircraftengine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back now to our Aero News special feature. I'm talking with Mectronics CEO Xavier Hervé about his unique program to refurbish the cockpits of discarded commercial aircraft into simulators. It's a new life for old airplanes and an unrivaled touch of authenticity for pilots building time on the ground. It's quite a bargain, is it not, when you go down and pick up one of these aircraft and you use part of it for your simulator. You are able to do so at much less expense than, say, if you had to recreate that environment from scratch.
Well, not only that, but the answer is yes, significantly less expensive. And more important than that is that it allows us to integrate our technology the way we want to, and then it becomes significantly. I mean, to give you an idea, a classic sim manufacturer, when he calls Boeing, and he wants a kit of aircraft parts, or Airbus for the matter, they're all the same, it's going to cost him over $1 million just to buy the parts that he's going to integrate in his sim. And so right off the bat, you know, between that, data packages, and a bunch of other stuff, you know, you haven't started talking about building your sim. You're already looking at several $1 million in expenses.
Just parts in a kit.
Yeah. So now that's gone. So all of a sudden, we can now start producing products, See, the nice thing about this technology of replication and refurbishment is that we can start building sims that, you know, are much more flexible price-wise. Now all of a sudden you have $2 million sims and $4 million sims and $6 million sims and $10 million sims. Because you now have sims of the fidelity that's acceptable by the pilot community at all these different prices, then all of a sudden are born different business models. You can imagine that, you know, the type of training organization that can afford a $2 million sim is not the same ones that they're going to buy the $14 million ones. So all of a sudden you enable a completely different business model in training.
And you get that real flavor of realism. This is not something we recreated like a movie set. This is something that actually served the purpose of flying people to and from.
Exactly, 100%.
Not just any aircraft that you might find at Mojave or Pina, that won't do, will it? It has to meet certain criteria.
Well, correct. It has to meet many different criteria. One of which is it has to be in the conditions that we can use them. They have to be refurbished. Second, they have to be of the aircraft type and specificities of the fleet that we're simulating. There's a whole bunch of different criteria that go in there.
What sort of aircraft have you been able to put to a new life in this manner?
All sorts. We've done a couple of Boeing types. We did an MD-80. We did a beach jet. We did some Raytheon airplanes. We did some ATRs, European ATRs. We've done a whole bunch.
But there's one in particular, a history with which you're especially familiar, and this is the one we spoke about a moment ago. It came from Aloha Airlines, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about this aircraft.
The airplane itself is a 737. It's a Boeing airplane. It flew for just about, 25 years, starting in 1979. It did have one emergency landing once. It did had an end because it could not at the end deploy the thrust reversers, or at least it was an emergency on takeoff in the taxiway that led them to this conclusion. And there was a beginning of smoke, like electrical wiring fire up and all that stuff.
Right.
And then they decided to get off the plane, and then in the end the plane, was described as a multi reason loss because a whole bunch of systems were decayed. So in the end they decided, that's it, let's go, we're getting rid of the airplane, we're grounding it.
So it ended up at the airport in Mojave, is that right?
Yeah, it ended up in the desert, and then it got grounded, and then eventually became available.
So you were able to put the cockpit and a portion of the cabin to use, or was it less than that?
What we do is when this thing arrives, you can imagine it has no instruments. It's been stripped. I mean, it has seats. It might have circuit breaker panels. It might have throttle quadrants, but when it comes to the rest, it's just a cockpit structure. So what we do is we take it apart, we strip it down to nothing, we undo every bolt and every piece is cleaned out. Then every single piece is, if it's selected, whether it stays in. Usually it's the cockpit. The part, when we receive it, it's the nose, the whole nose of the plane, cut off from the neck upwards. Is what we receive. When we get it to put it in the simulation platform, we cut the bottom half off just at the floor level, because what the pilots care about is the inside of the cockpit. And then we'll probably refurbish the throttle quadrants and the seats and stuff, and then we reinstall everything, and the rest in there is we manufactured with our own capabilities. So all the circuit breaker panels, all the instrumentation, all that stuff, we then build from scratch, specifically with a very software intensive. We just rebuild the pilot interface. So whatever switch he's used to turning on and off, you're going to find, except that if you look in the back of the panels, it's just wires going to a computer.
Does this give you some measure of satisfaction, putting a plane that's been put down, for lack of a better term, to a new use?
Yeah, the team loves it. I mean, it's in this recycled dynamic, and the team is really, I mean, it's nice to see an airplane come here. You know, it's like seeing a scrap car, an old car out of a scrapyard, and taking an old Chevy and refurbishing it. I mean, it's just nice. It's got its and seeing a full simulator. I mean, a simulator itself is. It looks like, I don't know if you've ever seen a sim.
Sure.
So, you know, if you take the sim, take its legs off, it looks a bit shaped a bit like a UFO, you know?
Right, okay.
So you just turn this scrapyard piece into a very fancy, you know, box that looks like a UFO, and it's perfectly brand new conditions. I mean, otherwise your customers or the regulatory agencies won't accept it.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.